Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Tuesday, May 14th to you. Grizzlies apparently got a new assistant coach coming in, director of player development. We're going to talk about that and what else might be happening with that Grizzlies coaching staff. If I remember correctly, Anthony Saint. Wasn't this past weekend, but the weekend before was the first I saw the tweet. Hearing there might be some coaching, assistant coaching turnover. I mean, we had talked about that Monday after he came in. We did the emergency session, of course, on Drake and KDOT, but we got to his news. And, of course, yesterday Drew Hill has the news that Grizzlies have added someone, and maybe more. I heard him talking about it this morning with Jeff Calkins on his show. So we'll talk about potential change on that Grizzlies assistant coaching staff. We know of one, obviously. Dallas, last night, stayed up because, of course, we're all in it to win it when it comes to fading Brad Carson, the segment that's sweeping the nation. And I was just telling Brad before we came on, you know, I'm not putting anything on these games. I'm not betting. But my gosh, am I riding the roller coaster? My gosh, does it feel like I am rooting against Brad? So you listeners that are fading him are winning. It feels like I'm betting. It really does. And last night I'm up late and I'm to ride it through, to run through the tape. And free throw shooting. My gosh, it was like watching a kid's team. Dallas go up there. Even Luka with 10 seconds left has a chance to tie that game. He splits. Basically gives it over to OKC. That series now tied 2-2, probably shouldn't be. We will talk about what happened last night in that game. We found out David Jones isn't really 6'6", but that tends to happen at NBA combines. Yeah, it does.
He's because the same height as my son.
You get measured without your shoes. Is Jake really 6'3" and a half now?
He's not 6'3" and a half, but he's damn close. He's 6'3".
Grief, you're kidding. Where does he get the size from? Because you're not that tall.
No, I'm short.
But your wife is tall. She comes from a tall family. Mm-hmm. Well, David Jones not as tall as we thought. However, you know, at 6'3" and a half, what does that say about his rebounding ability? Of course, without shoes, and guys were shorter than we thought, including Bronny James, who did show well, though, in the physical portion of the you know, measurement portion of the combine, verticals, everything else. Yeah. Bronny looked good there. Sounds like Woj going to get him drafted in that first round.
Yeah.
What he brings to a team from a G League standpoint, the attraction.
Get out of here.
They're going to get him drafted first round. But sound like Bronny had a pretty good day yesterday. We'll talk about David Jones as well. He's up at the combine, obviously. This was off the beaten path, but former Tigers running back Blake Watson, who we now know has got a, you know, undrafted free agent deal with the Denver Broncos. He got a crazy comp yesterday from Broncos coach Sean Payton that at some point, and I mean a comparison to another player. And if you pay any attention to Sean Payton, he's been sort of doing that lately. It was a stretch, but obviously Bo Nix, now Denver Bronco under Sean Payton, and he talked about how his conviction is Bo is much like the conviction he had when he had the number 11 pick back in the year that Patrick Mahomes was drafted. Obviously, KC jumps up to 10. He said he has the same kind of conviction about Bo Nix that he did about Patrick Mahomes in the draft. Wait till you hear what he said about Blake Watson. We'll talk about that as well. Before we get to all that, let me set up the show. 11:30 or so, we'll talk to Grind City Media's Jessica Benson, host of the Jessica Benson Show with C.J. Hurt. Yes, and host of the Grizzlies pre- and post-game shows here on 92.9 FM ESPN. We'll talk to her about, obviously, the playoffs last night. Dallas, did they, you know, you look at the rest of the series, you look at the way Luka and Kyrie last night, both off. You just wonder now, with it shifting back to OKC, with them now having home court advantage again, having tied this thing up at 2-2, if they let that slip through their fingers last night. We'll ask that question. We'll ask Jessica Benson that question, and much more in terms of the NBA Grizzlies draft pick. We know now number 9. Ask Jess what she thinks they should do with it. At noon, we'll do the rundown like usual. Jared Goff got paid. Woo, that boy got paid. And then at 1:25, we'll talk to Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell, like we do every Tuesday around this time, about the playoffs, maybe some draft stuff, what he thinks the Grizzlies should do with the pick. Saw Zach Lowe saying, you know, he expects the Grizzlies to, you know, have that pick out there and maybe be looking, you know, shopping it in hopes of getting a win-now player. Sounds a lot like, he wrote that yesterday, sounds a lot like where I'm at.
Yep.
With that pick. We discussed that yesterday. So lots to get to. Typically when we do in these situations, we like to do a little thing we call cap or no cap. Let's do it.
Cap. It means lion, but built different. Now, it's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Of course, if you don't mind, I'll weigh in, too, since John is on paternity leave this month. You are in week 3 of the 5-week grind and doing admirably, by the way. I'm getting a lot of compliments on the show before we get into it here.
I think my cords are starting to feel a little bit, if I'm a little deeper today than usual, just because of the extra activity.
Yes.
But, Brad, I really appreciate it, brother.
Yeah,
we're
going to
power
amazing.
Through this month.
I just had Steve Connolly in here and Kathy Thurman Edwards, who is a sponsor of the show, was in the hallway, and they were asking about you. And I said, Jason is prepping for the show and doing a great job. So, shout out to them and shout out to you as well. So let's get into cap or no cap here. We'll start with the first number here, which is Noah LaRoche.
LaRoche.
We're going to go with LaRoche.
Yeah, I was listening to Paul George talk about him. I think it's LaRoche.
Noah LaRoche will be one of multiple new assistants brought onto the Grizzlies this offseason. Is that cap or no cap?
Well, it's hard to say. And I'll tell you why. You know, Drew Hill, fantastic Grizzlies beat writer for the Daily Memphian. He's up in Chicago right now, and he had the story yesterday that the Memphis Grizzlies are bringing on Noah LaRoche as head of player development and as an assistant coach. And but also, and went on to talk about it with Jeff Calkins, you know, right now it's sort of unsure on what happens with the rest of the staff. Will it be a restructuring? Will you have current assistants in new roles, or are we talking about a case here where we're going to have some real turnover where you're replacing folks? And Drew, to this point, you know, wasn't prepared to go to a point where we're talking about your assistant staff's been cleaned out and you're replacing them. He talked about a restructuring. Back to the point, it's where we touched on here to open the show. It was 2 weekends ago that Anthony Sain from over at Grind City Media tweeted out that, hey, hearing some scuttlebutt that there's going to be assistant coaching turnover, okay? And then yesterday, in addition to Drew's story, we got from Kelly Iko of The Athletic a tweet. That tweet said, the Memphis Grizzlies let go of several assistant coaches recently. Sources tell The Athletic head coach Taylor Jenkins is restructuring his staff ahead of the 24-25 season. So that's sort of what's out there right now in terms of what's happening. And now we know, obviously, you've got at least one. And Noah LaRoche, who comes over, a little bit of background on him. Drew Hill's got it over the Daily Memphian, if you didn't read the story. Founded Integrity Hoops. Real, you know, professional development guy who's highly thought of. And the key guy, if you go and you look at any YouTube clips or anything else, and in fact, I think the Daily Memphian's got one embedded in the story, Paul George talking about what LaRoche did for his career in terms of from a professional development standpoint. Founded this Integrity Hoops of his in 2007, and as Drew writes, has operated his own player development, skill development in Los Angeles for years. Again, highly regarded guy. His program is known for working with established players such as Clippers wing Paul George, which we mentioned, WNBA star Diana Taurasi, and Houston Rockets guard Jalen Green. And that interview, there's I think it's Paul
Bills podcast, actually, there's a the clip is of him and Jalen Green talking about what LaRoche has done for them. And so obviously he comes, you know, in terms of not just highly regarded, but with impressive credentials in terms of the line of people that he's worked with. I mean, Paul George is as polished a player as there is. And if you listen to any of Paul George talking about him, you know, he says that, you know, LaRoche has got everything in the bag and that he'll throw all of these, you know, game situations at you, stuff you know, yeah, you've had thrown at you before, but it's a different way in the way he approaches it, and it slows down the game for guys. That's what Paul kept talking about, is how, from a development point, you know, that what he was working on with LaRoche helped him help slow the game down for him, right? And so when he's taking that into the game, makes him, again, it's Paul George's opinion of LaRoche, but clearly this guy's operated independently, you know, since 2007, successful at what he does, and sounds like the Grizzlies, you know, who brought, you know, it was Anthony Carter on last year in a player development role, his first year there. You know, obviously the Grizzlies looking to go, whether it's for Anthony Carter and he's still there in a restructuring, or you're just adding to it, you're looking to certainly bolster in terms of your development on that staff. Now, I go back to the cap or no cap here. I don't have any reason to believe that LaRoche is going to be the only one, especially based on what we've heard from Sane now 2 weekends ago, how it was sort of confirmed by The Athletic in that tweet yesterday. And Brad, they don't make any bones about it. I mean, they say that they let go of several assistant coaches recently. That sounds less like a, you know, he goes on to use the ICO, goes on to say head coach Taylor Jenkins is restructuring his staff, but clearly it sounds like more replacements might be on the way, at least according to the reporting. I'm surprised, frankly, because it's been 2 weekends that we've had sort of, you know, this out in the air, at least publicly. At least Sane was the first that I had heard talked about. So I'm surprised that we haven't had a little bit more in terms of, okay, if these folks have been let go, why don't we know that yet? Why isn't that official? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like the Grizzlies are going to do a PR release about replacing assistants, but clearly, whether this is Taylor Jenkins saying, I need a new staff, or maybe, and I would probably lean towards this way, you know, whether it's Kleiman in the front office, Robert Pera, you know, maybe it's a mandate. Maybe there was something again. And it's weird, Brad, because this is you're coming off a year where, from a player development standpoint, Vince Williams, Gigi Jackson, you liked
very
what you got
successful
there.
Development.
You liked what you got there. So if there is you know, a ton of turnover here, or more than just LaRoche, clearly there is a specific reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be interested to see if we you know, as these strings are pulled and we see what's happened with these assistants, if we get any details on what new direction, if indeed this is that, the Grizzlies seem to want to go here with the assistant coaching staff. You know, Taylor's been very comfortable having Brad Jones next to him, obviously. So I'm, you know, that's why I kind of I lean against the whole, well, Taylor thinks this is what he needs to be, in the sense that he would be the, you know, the origin of saying we need change. This seems to me like, if it's indeed true,
yep,
what Iko's saying, what Anthony Sane's saying, this would seem to be like a directive for me. Again, that's just reading the situation, no insight whatsoever, obviously. Sounds like LaRoche is going to be a good add. I'm interested to see, again, if we're talking a whole new, for the most part, a whole new assistant staff. It sounds like it. Everything that's come out since Sane's tweet has sort of confirmed what he's been hearing. We'll see what else happens. But I'm gonna say that it's no cap that he'll be one of multiple new assistants for the Grizzlies next season, and maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's no cap, obviously. And it looks like they're hiring guys out of the box here. This dude worked with Harrison Barnes. I mean, he's worked with Russell Westbrook. He's changed George Niang's game. So, like, this is a pretty cool hire. I like that they try different things when it comes to player development. I think it's a smart move. You know, they've got the money and resources to do it, so why not do it? So, I agree. It's going to be no cap. They're going to make some changes there. Let's look to your other no cap line here. Dallas. That was a wild one last night. The Mavericks blew the series last night, letting game number 4 slip away to Oklahoma City, who regained home court advantage after winning on the road last night in Dallas in front of owner Mark Cuban. They lost 196 to OKC. They let it slip away, the series in this one. Is that cap or no cap?
That's no cap. And yes, and I'm not just talking about the game, which they literally did let slip away, particularly with what they did from the free throw line. But I feel like this series too, particularly again, and forgive us, because I think we have flip-flopped on how we feel
it's
about
hard
this
to
series.
Read these series.
After
man.
Game one, Luka's banged up. We're saying OKC's going to the Western Conference Finals. This doesn't look like, you know, and here's the other thing we asked. Who's going to be the third guy to step up next to Kyrie and to Luka? We've gotten our answer. It's been P.J. Washington. He's been pretty darn consistent throughout the entire thing. Last night, they waste a fantastic defensive effort. Dude, the third quarter of that game, the start of the fourth, was a grind. And if you had told me before the playoffs, right, or before say some point during the regular season, that OKC and Dallas are going to meet the playoffs, I would have told you, oh, that's going to be a high-scoring affair, man. Everything's going to be, not going to be much defense played, right? And again, that's from a guy who's admitted not watched a ton of the Thunder, but feel pretty good about what that feel on Dallas. Dude, that was like an old Eastern Conference physical drag-out
grinder.
War. Now,
yeah.
A lot of it is Luka flailing, and I get so sick of that. But he is getting bumped. He is getting pushed around by Dort because you have to. You have to be physical with him. Back to the point, though. This was a grinded-out affair that Dallas was winning, Brad. Dallas had control of. And I think that physicality is sort of, before last night and really in that fourth quarter of that game when SGA had taken over, when he took over down the stretch, and he did, and you've got to give him all the credit in the world, that physicality against SGA was really hurting him. Dallas has determined they're not going to give him anything at the basket, right? They're going to make him shoot the pull-up 15-footer and beat us from the perimeter. You're not getting inside, where we know SGA's so good at drawing the contact, getting to the foul line and everything else. Dude, it was working. And last night they hold OKC to 38%. But because you go a very childlike 12 of 23 from the line, including after you've allowed Oklahoma City to get back in the game, take control, you've got an opportunity. Luka Doncic, your star, your MVP, has got an opportunity to tie the game with 10.1 left, and he splits the free throws. What does OKC do the rest of the way? They make theirs. And you have OKC stealing this game out of Dallas, taking back home court advantage, going back obviously to OKC tied 2-2 now, and you're left with, well, this is Kyrie Irving's second single-digit scoring game in this series. Luka again last night after looking pretty solid in games 2 and 3 and seeming to have figured out, okay, Dort's going to be physical with me. Yep. Here's how I've got to respond. Did not play well last night. I mean, I've got
42 minutes, 18 points.
6 of 20 from the field. Kyrie goes 4 of 11. It's a combined 10 of 31.
Yeesh.
For just 27 points between the two of them. Again, hesitance here. I don't want to say this thing's completely over because we've sounded like fools almost, jumping on OKC after one game. Dallas takes command, it looks like, after two. And here OKC is taking it again. But last night you let an opportunity take a 3-1 lead and true control of this series. You let it slip through your fingers. I just have a hard time believing that as banged up as it looks like Dallas is, even with the contributions they're getting from P.J. Washington, now Tim Hardaway Jr. is playing and giving you something. As opposed to earlier in these playoffs when he's sitting on the bench, hurt. I hesitate to sound like the guy that's flipping again back to OKC, but I do feel like they let an opportunity, a golden opportunity, to take control of this series, to maybe, again, if you can close it out early, get some much-needed rest before the Western Conference Finals. Feels like it slipped out of their fingers last night, and it happened right there at the free throw line. 12 of 23, 52%. Tied for their second worst percentage ever in a playoff game. Luka talked about it afterwards. You just cannot do that. And again, he ain't talking about his teammates. I mean, he can't just.
Right, yeah.
You got to look inward on that.
Yeah.
And so last night, again, in a game that Dallas was controlling for the most part, I really thought not just let the game slip away, maybe possibly the series. I'm gonna go no cap here. I like Oklahoma City with two out of the final three at home. Not saying it's done in six, and we may very well be headed for seven. Because I think, again, Kyrie's got to step up. You can't be as ineffective as he was last night, not have an answer if you're the true OG that you say you are. Maybe headed for seven, but I just feel like OKC's got the true, clearly, I mean, with home court, they've got the advantage now, and I think they're going to win the series.
I think you nailed it. I think Kyrie Irving fell into the lullaby that was game three because, you can have one game where Kyrie Irving scores in single digits and plays 40 minutes like he did in game three. You can't do it twice. I don't see that. So Kyrie Irving's going to have to score more than 9 points.
A lot of their offense is taking turns, and Kyrie has even talked about that. It was my turn to take over. It's Luka's turn to
take
over.
That ain't working.
And it's not working. And when both of them are off, when it's time to take turns like last night, it gets really ugly.
Yeah.
It's just Lively trying to get a bunch of offensive rebounds and everything else, and it did down the stretch for them. And you can't take anything away from SGA.
Right.
He was an absolute MVP deep.
Oh, he's an animal.
Down the stretch of that game.
Yes.
Hits those perimeter jumpers that the Dallas defense was forcing him to take everything else. Can't take anything away from him, but still thought Dallas opened the door for him, and particularly with what they did from the free throw line. Just horrid. They blew it last night.
We will have game five tomorrow at 8 o'clock on 92.9 FM ESPN. Mavericks and OKC back to Oklahoma City now.
So yes.
This is
they
the
are
problem
back in control.
They stole this game, to your point. This is why it's
home.
Okay.
Now they got home court back.
Now
all that
back.
Work you did to take it away, you gave it right back.
So I like OKC, but we'll talk about that more with our picks tomorrow on the Oklahoma City game. Let's go to the Tigers here. A lot of talk about David Jones at the camp, the combine. Tigers basketball fans need to root against David Jones. 6'3" David Jones performing well at the NBA combine this week. Is that cap or no cap? Well, root against David Jones.
It's sort of like Fade Brad, right? I mean, right. You take the opposite here. And in this case, of course, David Jones, the still current Tiger, if he does, you're operating under this premise. If he does really well at the combine this week, and we got some measurements back yesterday that we touched on with David Jones, and they did some shooting drills and everything else, if he's really good, only takes one NBA team to fall in love with him, right? Offer him a nice fat two-way, one of the better ones, and maybe that's a deal that David Jones can't turn down. And so if you're a Tigers fan, you want David Jones back, and you would be rooting against that happening. And but that said, I will say, I'm going to go that you don't need to do this, that it's cap that you need to root against him. We don't need to go to Fade Brad proportions here
right.
When it comes to David Jones. You want David Jones to go up there and be successful and let the process play out.
Yeah.
And I think, frankly, if you're a Tigers fan, you've got a lot of faith right now just in terms of the things that Penny Hardaway has said, the agreement that those two seem to have already clearly they've made. Partha Pagiai reported over the Daily Memphian. There was an agreement made that he wouldn't go in the transfer portal. This was going to be Memphis or the NBA. And the fact that you had Penny doubling down last week, out in Collierville on 70-30, that he feels really good about this. And, Brad, I'll be honest with you. I've been scouring whether it's player rankings for this draft, the new mock drafts, the one we're not paying as much attention to, everything else. And it's just one day at the combine. He's got plenty more days this week to impress. But he's just not anywhere. It's what Penny noted that and has said it publicly, and you can't deny it. He's just not anywhere in terms of the prospects that look like they're, gonna make a push this week or super impressed with yesterday. And we found out yesterday he's not 6'6". Obviously these guys get shorter when you measure them without shoes, but at 6'3.5", you're talking about a pretty small shooting guard in the league. And we know that David Jones is not a point guard. And so I would have to say that size, and again, the wingspan 6'7", was 211 pounds. I mean, relatively decent size wingspan, but nothing outrageous here. Nothing that the NBA, you don't have that 7-foot wingspan that the NBA loves. And so from a measurement standpoint, they weren't very good numbers yesterday for David Jones. And listen, I could not find a specific breakdown of how he performed in the shooting and everything else, some of those other drills yesterday, but he was not among the top list. You know who was up there? Stephon Castle, who, remember, the UConn standout, who we talked about yesterday.
We talked about him as a defender. He's got a three.
Some have mocked to the Grizzlies at 9.
Yep.
I don't think he's going to fall that far, but back to the point, the knock on him is that he can't shoot, is that he was under 30% at UConn. He goes up there and wins one of the shooting drill performances in terms of, it just shows you, man, those UConn. I think I want to tell you, Tristan Newton, another UConn player, was second in that. I didn't see David Jones listed in that, although I did watch one of his shooting, whether it was the actual measurements, how many he hit out of 25. It looked like he was knocking down a fair amount, but he didn't knock people's socks off. It looked like to me from yesterday. So I say all that to say, no, you don't need to be rooting against him. And saying, we already got a problem. I was talking about this last week with Travis King and maybe a little bit with Elliott Perry, where Memphis has a tendency to eat up our own. When a guy's performing poorly, Memphis basketball fans of it, Alex, I can go through the examples more. Alex Lomax, Joe Jackson, whatever else, the Lawsons, we have a tendency to eat our own. We don't need to apply that here with David Jones, who obviously you want back to Memphis with these seven guys of the transfer portal that Penny Hardaway has put together. You don't need to do that here. I think we can all just say, really hope for the best for David Jones. Let the process play out. It sounds like to me that Penny Hardaway thinks, once he's done with this, I mean, Penny said it publicly, doubled down, tripled down on it, basically, that it's going to be good news for Memphis. And again, if David Jones wants to go, what will clearly be the harder route, Brad, even if he gets a solid two-way deal, there's no promise that you stick. With Memphis, as he said, and has said publicly, everything's taken care of for another year. You're coming off of an honorable mention, All-American year, AP honorable, come back to Memphis, shine. How in the hell does he average between 6 and 8 rebounds at 6'3.5"? That's amazing. Come back, do that again. I guess the argument against will be, well, Jason, this is a weaker draft. Again, even in a weaker draft, he's not on any mocks.
Yep.
Still not. Not in any of the first or second rounds. And so the hope is that David Jones will be back for the Memphis Tigers again. Not pushing down the line or wishing that he doesn't have a professional career. Hopefully all that's coming. But I think the smart thing here, based on what we've seen so far, some of the measurements, NBA ain't checking for 6'3.5" shooting guards, Brad. You know, they want that at point guard. And David Jones, we know, is not that. Hopefully it means it all adds up to David Jones coming back to Memphis again. Penny Hardaway said 70-30 feels pretty good about it.
I think that you laid that out perfectly.
We don't need to be rooting against him, though, right? That's just
no.
I'm trying to be better.
It's cap. The only thing I'll add is that what is super impressive, and this is one of the reasons why I think he'll be back, regardless of any side deals he could have outside of, you know, the NBA draft in professional basketball. David is one of the rare players that points out something that fans have forever pointed out, which is the scholarship, the care you get at the University of Memphis, the facilities, the physical therapy, like all of these amenities that you forget when you're in minor league basketball, like the G League, or you're signing a free agent
contract.
Even
talk about the clothes. I mean, your gear, everything is taken care of.
And food. Everything is provided, and NIL. Should we forget? No, and he's getting
a nice little bump, as we know, on that NIL.
Yeah. So the thought here is that, especially when you see what's happening with football and the money that's coming in from Fred, it's like the deal's going to be better.
I'm gonna real quick. How are you letting a 6'3.5" guy lead you in rebounding last year?
I look at
every other Tiger on that team last year. And I see David Jones leading this team in rebounding and scoring, but particularly on that rebounds too. That's just your phrase, want to and attitude.
All want to.
Tyreek Smith, Musa being back. I mean, you've got to get back to where, again, you're not depending on a 6'3.5" guy to go out there and lead you with his chest out, lead you on the boards.
And not a crazy wingspan, as you pointed out. It's not ridiculous.
6'7", whatever else. I mean, he's just a bunch of want to and everything else. It's a credit to David Jones.
Yes.
You know, that he's not... You know, you could say, hey, well, he just looks for his shot. He's not much of a passer. Well, David Jones ain't, you know, and I think he got better on playmaking as he found that out in the season, as the Tigers needed more from him there. But the effort itself, when you add what he's doing on the glass, you can't hate on David Jones. But the hope is, if you're a Tigers fan, you absolutely want him back here with the Tigers next year.
Let's go to the last one in the NFL because of the 4-year deal that he gets with Detroit for $212 million. This is ridiculous, this amount of money, but that's just me, even though we're gonna give him some love,
it looks like.
Jason Smith, our very own Jason Smith, who is sitting across from me, is a Jared Goff hater, and Jason Smith needs to fess up and stop hating. Is that cap or no cap?
It's no cap. And, we like to hold folks accountable around here.
And if
you're going to do that, you have to be able to look in the mirror, right? You can't do that with other folks, not be able to look in the mirror and hold yourself accountable.
Yes.
And I do. I do still, at 47 years old, I have a problem sometimes with hating on things that don't need to be hated on. I hate on dudes, Brad, I'm going to confess this, my age now, that have better, stronger hairlines than me, that have more hair, right? The fact that they're able to keep that going. Mm. The fact that Anthony Sane is in his 40s. This man can grow. He's got so much hair, he can twist it up, do whatever he wants. It's unbelievable.
No, it's really impressive.
I hate on that, and I shouldn't.
No,
I
should
let that go.
Love them for their gifts.
They're blessed.
They're blessed with gifts.
Right, they're blessed.
Yes.
And there are other things, certainly. And Jared Goff is one of them.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why. I've always just looked at him as the guy who couldn't get it done with the Rams. You know, you couldn't win a Super Bowl with the Rams. They trade you for Matthew Stafford, essentially got the same team. And Stafford wins it, right?
Right.
And we're talking about this, obviously, on the heels of what Brad mentioned, Jared Goff becoming the second highest paid quarterback in the league at, what, $53 million a year, essentially, right behind Joe Burrow. So only Burrow ahead of him now. Yeah, you mentioned it, 4 years, $212 million, and that's
170
guaranteed. Here's the deal.
Wow.
Last season, Jared Goff threw for 4,575, 4,575 yards, 30 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. They made the NFC Championship game. And as much as I wanted to say he's paper thin, everything else, he's a hit away from Detroit. You know, he goes down, Detroit Lions go to irrelevance.
Fair.
This dude, Over the last two seasons, they've won 21 games. It's a franchise record for most victories in any two-season span. The 12 wins in 2023 also tied for the most wins in a season in franchise history. In franchise history. I was listening to Jeffrey Wright with Jeff Calkins this morning, and he had side-to-side comparison of Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff over the last three seasons, essentially. Stafford's time
I
with the Rams.
This. It was good.
It was amazing.
Yeah, very amazing.
In the sense that Goff was right there. It was equal in everything, and in some categories, Goff had him beat.
Yeah.
But touchdown passes, sacks they've taken, it was all about the same in terms of yards thrown for. Well, maybe not yards, but everything else. It would tell you that Goff's been an elite quarterback over the last 3 years and certainly someone that's taking Detroit to heights that they have either not been at in years or never been to at all. And so what I've got to do is be better. And here's the deal. You can hate on Jared Goff being the second highest paid quarterback typically I would on the surface, but we know, too, in the NFL, everybody gets their time.
Yep.
And for a minute, you get into that top five. I remember a day where Joe Flacco got his money, and we were all saying, does he truly deserve this, right? That's the nature of it in the NFL. It's the next man up, right, sets the market and everything else. And so you can't hate on him from that standpoint. It's his time up. But when you put the numbers and the success and where he has Detroit right now, which is truly a contender in the NFC, certainly wouldn't put them above the San Francisco 49ers. You can't. You have to respect it. And so for me, yes, I need to fess up to it and let go of some of that hate. I am a Jared Goff hater, and I'm going to do my best this year to start trying to let that go. He is one of the elites and probably truly deserves the respect from me. That's where I'm going to
well
be
done.
Again, you're not going to hear that kind of accountability from most hosts.
No.
They won't hold themselves to that standard, check themselves, like you just heard here.
Yep.
But when I'm wrong, I'm going to say I'm wrong.
What I would also add is I agree with you.
I can't stand him, but I'm not going to hate on him. He's good.
Shout out for Detroit. First of all, you had to get through one of the person you traded to winning a title. But
right.
Then second, which I think they still would do it again, given what Goff has done for them and what they got in return for it. And I give Detroit all the credit here, because to make that trade, you got to grin and bear it pretty rough. You know, you're giving up a franchise quarterback at the time. Now, he's banged up,
right,
as we've seen lately with Stafford. Like, that guy is not right. Especially
he plays through it, though. Stafford's
boy,
tough.
He does, but I'm sure he's cooked on something. But Jared Goff also probably is cooked on something to get through these games. That is a crazy amount of money, and for Detroit to spot him and make that deal, it kind of worked out for him.
No, it's his time. He's earned it at this point. The key for him is going to be keeping him there.
Yep.
Right, keeping him in that contender window.
I still think he's paper thin, though. I appreciate your accountability.
But here's the deal. What quarterback isn't?
No,
what quarterback? I mean, Joe Burrow at this point, we mentioned it with Fitzy yesterday. Fitzy mentioned, like, yeah, dude, you got to stay on the field.
Yes.
Like, at this point.
No, he's not going to be good if he's not available.
Right. And so, but my point, all quarterbacks probably
that's
hit
fair.
Away from being gone. Goff is a sitting duck. He's
right.
Not going to run away from everything. But again, that speaks to the fact that he's been out there. You know, he manages to avoid the injury room and everything
passer.
Else.
He can throw it, but he's going to get hit.
And much like Tom Brady, he avoids the big hit because he knows. I mean, anything like that's going to again knock Detroit back. Anyway, Jared Goff, elite quarterback. I've got to start getting him the credit for it. He's earned this contract at this point. All that said, Chicago Bears coming. Bear down. Before we get to Jessica Bence, I want to tell you the NBA playoffs have obviously tipped off. The action's getting exciting at this point. It's not too late for you to get in on that action with FanDuel, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. Again, that's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures. You can be listening around 12:40 when Brad gives out his picks, and you can use those bonus dollars to fade Brad. He was on one last night, baby, picking those losers. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than on America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/JSmith to get started. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSMITH with new customers. Again, getting $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. It's only on FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA and of 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt at GrindCityMedia.com. Hosts the Grizzlies pre- and post-game shows you can hear on 92.9 FM ESPN. You can follow her on Twitter, on X now, at Jess Benson TV. So happy to have her join us this time every Tuesday. Jess, it was a bummer. I got home from taking the wifey out for Mother's Day brunch and had asked her, can we get home before 2? Can we get this Gus's chicken ate up? And I know it's like, you took your wife to Gus's chicken? Actually, it's what she wanted.
I would love as future mother, hopefully on a Mother's Day somewhere in the future. I think Gus's fried chicken is the perfect Mother's Day meal.
It, she just loves it. She loves the fried okra. She loves everything about it. So we did it, and that was fine. I was perfectly happy with that. I wanted to get home by 2 because I just knew Tayshaun Prince was going to get us that bump up. I knew we were going to get to the top 4. Let down pretty. I don't know. We've all sort of taken it in now. We've had some time to let it sink in. Does where it is in your mind change at all your thinking on whether you take a guy, right, or whether you trade the pick based on where? Has that changed anything? Are we all still, anything's possible? We're all still in speculation mode because of it.
Yeah, I think we're still in speculation mode. But I think the more fun version is that anything's possible, right?
Yes.
Like, there is a fair number of scenarios that you can talk yourself into. And that way, come draft night, that's always my draft night approach, period. Like, don't get married to one idea, because unless you have the number one pick and it's an obvious choice, you never know how things are going to shake out.
That's right.
So now you kind of enter this ambiguity period, which can be fun. You can talk yourself into various players throughout the draft combine process, finding highlights on YouTube. It is absolutely that season of the year for everyone. But I'm with you. Like, I had my mother tune in to the NBA draft lottery because I thought she could watch something fun. She's turned into a super psycho Grizzlies fan. And she was like, all that, your whole season, every time you called me after one of those 82 games to tell me the Grizzlies lost again was for that. And I said, yes, Mom, that is how the draft lottery works. The basketball lottery gods do not grant any favors. Just ask the Detroit Pistons. It could always be worse, which is a nice way to go about it. But you really do have to turn your focus onto the Grizzlies weren't looking for a star in this draft. And
right.
by star, I mean like a face of the franchise. You have 3 of them. Like, yes, of course, Ja Morant is one of the faces of the NBA, but between him and Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr., like, you're cooking with your big 3, and it's just trying to figure out, okay, so how do we marginally or fractionally get better? How is it this time of year next year? The Grizzlies are in the Western Conference semifinals, hoping to, advance into the Western Conference finals. And so now you just figure out, is there going to be a player there available at 9 who helps you get fractionally better? Or does that pick, what is the value of that pick in terms of trading back and packaging it together perhaps with something that lands you a veteran big, which is something that obviously is, one of the standouts of points of need for the team this offseason. So it just kind of opens up that next space. I like it from a standpoint of we can get moving now, right? Like, we talk in hypotheticals so much this time of year, and now we can start kind of putting this puzzle together.
I'm just curious, as a close basketball observer, you're watching it every night, and you watch college basketball as well, and we've all, Lord knows, we've watched a ton of Zach Edey the last couple of years with what he's done. You just see different opinions on him. You got the Kenny Smiths of the world that say Zach Edey's going to be great as a role player in the league, 12 to 15 minutes coming off the bench. This is a league that's fast and up-tempo, and, Zach Edey's not going to be able to shoulder that load for 30 minutes a night, and kind of compared to Yao Ming, where in terms of just the size and a lumbering guy like that, can you keep up with the pace? But I've seen others that say, oh, he's a perfect fit. Whether it's for the Grizzlies or anybody else, he'll set screens, whatever. I'm just curious on Zach Edey, the NBA player, what you think about what he'll be in the league.
He's so polarizing. And you never want to be the person who says, like, there's no way Zach Edey makes it, and then he, somehow ends up being an all-star that we're talking about 10 years from now. But it is hard when you say things like, the quickness and the speed of the league, and then seeing the laborious nature to his sprints at the combine.
Yes.
Thank you. But then, he had some agility in the
a little better than we thought.
Skills drills. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit better than we thought. And then he's, getting up 3s, and you're like, oh, Zach Edey stretched the floor. No, I think that's a step too far.
Right.
But it'll just be curious to see. And I think a lot for Zach Edey, as with the case with so many draft prospects, like, what organization does he get in, and how do they use him both early and in the long-term developmental game? It can be just as much a situational basis for him as anyone. I am not team Zach Edey, but I will cautiously watch from afar, because there is a reason why some people are still so committed to saying a team, if he's there in the 20s, take a chance on him, right?
Yep.
I certainly, if I were making a mock draft, he would not be a lottery pick for me.
I'm with you. No.
It's a tricky one for sure.
No, you're definitely, somebody said, I had to tell somebody, you will not take Zach Edey at nine. You won't have to. If you want Zach Edey, that you're going to trade back, and you can do it that way. I'm curious. You know, a lot of this Bronny, LeBron joined dad in the league. Whether it's with the Lakers or not, you know, I think we've greeted some of that. I know I have, with eye rolls on some of it, and particularly in the case that Will felt like LeBron's trying to speed this process up. Let your son be your son. Let him be his own man. But yesterday he's at the combine, obviously, performs well in some of the agility tests and those kind of things. Great vertical, you know, shot the ball well and everything else. And now, you know, this is obviously coming off of having the heart condition. You only played for a segment of the season because of it. I guess I am curious now sort of what happens, and I'm rolling my eyes less, even though I don't think that LeBron, you know, based on what he's done and what he didn't do, frankly, at USC last year, I mean, he shouldn't be a lottery pick where Gavonian once had him. And maybe I could make an argument that he has no business being in the first round, but it's obvious he's going to get there at some point. Is it still eye roll stuff for you? Are you at a point where we're kind of maybe fascinated by what's, at least curious by what's going on with Bronny in terms of the NBA prospect he could be? Just the whole Bronny story. My gosh, was it covered down to just about every, you know, shuttle drill he did yesterday. Are you as consumed by it as it seems like the rest of media is? Are you rolling your eyes? Are you interested?
He's the biggest story at the combine.
It's huge.
Which is crazy. I'm trying to roll my eyes less and operate from a point of acceptance more. I made this point on my show this morning. Like, we have.
Interesting.
Are you familiar with the phrase Nepo babies?
No. School.
Okay, so Nepo babies is like an entertainment culture phrase of children who were born into entertainment families.
Yeah.
So whether they have one parent who's an actor, two parents, oh my God, they're a director or a studio head or whatever it is. And so it's nepotism baby for short. And
it's
just a very throwaway thing, like, oh, that's a Nepo baby. Every industry has them, though, right? It's not just the entertainment industry. It's big business. It's law. It's everywhere.
Absolutely.
So, of course, it filters into sports. And this is a very unique situation because there has been no one bigger in basketball than LeBron James over the last couple of decades. And now it's his son's turn. And I think it was a very calculated and smart move for LeBron James to be in Cleveland for the Cavs game.
Ugh.
I take that with what you want. But not to be in Chicago hovering over Bronny during that and allowing him to kind of start this process on his own because, metaphorically, he's over his shoulder wherever he goes. And now I'm just kind of operating from a place of curiosity. Who does take, because someone will, so who does take the flyer on Bronny James? And what G League team, perhaps, is having the chance? I heard Woj talking about the financial impact that he could have at the G League level. And thinking about that, I mean, wherever he were to land, like, I would go watch the Memphis Hustle versus fill in the blank with Bronny James. It would be an interesting situation to see unfold. And I hope for him that he can even live up to a small piece of the very giant shoes that his father has left before him. Because I always go to the empathetic side too. Like, I can't imagine being him.
Oh, I know.
He
didn't ask for
this. He was born into it.
Yeah. What was the message that LeBron was sending us last night by being in Cleveland?
That you should always have three cups, a bottle of wine, a cup of coffee, and a bottle of water.
Savannah
and then
looked
never
like
get caught without something.
Savannah looked like she didn't, you know, even when the crowd gave him that crazy applause, Savannah didn't look like she wanted any part of it. Like, she'd rather be somewhere else. Like, why are we here tonight? But LeBron
did she wear that very LA hat
gosh.
In the middle of May in Cleveland to make a point that we don't belong in Cleveland?
It was
anymore?
Unbelievable. Like, she was making a statement with that hat. Yeah, I just thought, I mean, dude, you wait to do this, most people, right? Most folks, you wait to do this till after you're retired. I mean, this guy's got the deal with the Lakers, the opt-in. You know people are going to write news stories, this might mean he can go, he wants to go back to Cleveland. He knows all that, and yet he obviously wants it. I just don't understand why at this point, why that attention is so important to him. I guess it's just it's part of controlling the narrative. Jess, it's just that other level that I'll never understand.
That's what I think it comes down to, is it's I'm in charge, and I want everyone to be reminded of who's in charge. And, like, he's earned that cred.
Oh, he has.
But it was so funny, even, I think it was SportsCenter, it was SportsCenter get up, or, like, one of the breaks coming back from SportsCenter. And they were highlighting that tonight is Caitlin Clark's first WNBA game as the Fever tip off their season, and the WNBA tips off with four games, and that game's on ESPN2, which is awesome. But it went from Caitlin Clark to LeBron James was at the Cavs game, and I was like, oh, we're really doing that LeBron James media treatment to Caitlin Clark. And it is exhausting, but it does also have a purpose, and it, you know, it's, LeBron has backed it up through being one of the, if not greatest of all time, and now Caitlin Clark has the very, again, big shoes to fill to meet up with all of that media coverage. But yeah, we'll do it with LeBron until he's done, and then even when he's done, we're going to continue to do it. We know the drill.
Well, we know the drill. We're talking, of course, with Jessica Benson, the great Jessica Benson, host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt on Grind City Media. Want to touch on that, because you took me there with Caitlin. She makes her debut tonight in the WNBA. I'm curious, Jess, on a 1 to 10 scale, how much of a WNBA watcher were you in terms of up until this season? And then on that same scale, will you go up with more Caitlin Clark? And it's not just her. It's this entire rookie class, but obviously she is the face of it, and we've seen what she does from a viewership standpoint. Do you think you will consume more WNBA because of her presence now?
I think I'll consume more WNBA coverage because of both her presence and this class of rookies, mm-hmm. period, and the ability to see them more. Because, like, tonight, you have two games. You have a doubleheader on ESPN2.
Right.
And there's been a lot of momentum through that. Not only do you have the chance to see Caitlin Clark and the Fever take on the Sun, you also get Aces Mercury, and the Aces are back-to-back champs, and Asia Wilson just got her signature shoe, and they were just at the White House and everything with that. I would probably put myself at a 4 in the past. I'll be honest. I would follow it, but I didn't watch. I didn't go out of my way to watch games until we got to the postseason.
Yep, yep.
And every now and then, okay, there would be games in the afternoon, maybe on an ABC day game on a Saturday or a Sunday, and it would just kind of be background noise at the house. It was never appointment viewing. I think that will be the biggest difference for me, is there will be games, there will be matchups that I go out of my way, yeah, to try to see this year. And I think that's the kind of a symbol for the casual viewer and the new viewer entering into this new realm of WNBA coverage.
No, I think that's really well said. All right, we love Tom Brady when he was being roasted, and then when he did a little roasting of his own. What about Tom Brady, the, you know, Sunday football analyst next to the play-by-play guy? What do we get there? Will we get greatness there? What do you think?
So my first response, similar to the LeBron James comment I just made, like, mm-hmm. even after he retires, he's still going to be a part of our sports lexicon forever and always. That's kind of how it feels with Tom Brady. He made so many people miserable on the who were not Patriots fans or Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans the longest of time. And now to just merge into this new era, I have never found Tom Brady to be the most charismatic guy in the world either, so I'm very curious how that plays. But I'll say I really genuinely enjoyed watching the NFL draft coverage, both with Nick Saban on the College Game Day crew. I thought he was awesome. And then I even liked Bill Belichick on the Pat McAfee side of that broadcast. And so just having the opportunity to hear from these people who have been, you know, legends that I have consumed my entire sports fandom life, now transitioning into broadcast space, would I pick Tom Brady as my number one person I want to hear, you know, be a part of a game call? Not necessarily, but he does everything so well. I'm sure he's been training his butt off to make sure he's at least adequate.
I know. It makes me so jealous how good he is at everything. And I really was. Yeah. I thought we'd see signs, like, you know, that he, you know, at the roast, okay, that he's not so good at, he took it all with a grain of salt, and then he delivered, you know, yeah, all the punchlines hit for the most part. He was freaking perfect. He probably will be on this. Jess, you're perfect. We thank you so much.
You're perfect.
For joining us again on this Tuesday. She's the best. That is Jessica Benson. Talk to you later. Host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt on Grind City Media. Make sure you are listening. What do you think, Brad? Tom Brady, the analyst, we loved him getting roasted. We're going to love him. Is he going to be better? I'll ask it this way. Will he be better than Tony Romo?
Yes.
Who's kind of fallen off, right? Tony Romo started very high, mm-hmm. had all of our applause, and everything. We loved him, but it's kind of fallen off in a way where some believe he's not preparing as hard. He will be better than Tony Romo.
Yeah, and I think the roast was a good move into that direction, because one of the questions we had about Tom Brady that I've said on your show is that he's not very affable. But when you sit there and you get cooked for 3 hours or 2 hours, man, like, you pretty much put that aside. I think he's going to be able to poke fun at himself a little more than I suspected.
I think you need a little bit of that.
The other thing
just a little bit.
I didn't think Belichick would be good, and he just proved me totally wrong. Like, I didn't think he would be, and a lot of that is because of the press. Like, somebody pointed this out, and maybe it was you. If Greg Popovich weren't coaching, he may not be the a-hole that we think he is.
Dude, when you're having a glass of wine with Greg Popovich at dinner, you love him.
You probably think he's the coolest dude ever.
Because he'll tell you stories, and he's great. He opens up and everything. And that's the same thing about Bill Belichick.
I think it's the same with
him in that role as Patriots head coach, when you're asking him about the next game and everything else, he's just going to give you the one thing. He's not interested in showing you who he is or telling you stories.
Yes.
He's about that business of being a football coach and just getting to that business.
The other thing on Brady.
This is a different Bill.
Versus Romo. Romo was a good quarterback. But let's be honest. When you're having Tom Brady do a dissertation on out routes, like it's a way different deal when the GOAT's doing it.
But I think more important than who was the better quarterback is going to be, because I agree with you, there's no comparison.
Yeah.
It's going to be your delivery.
How are you doing it?
How do you get that information and that insight across?
Yeah, I think it'll
be
sharp.
Are you doing it, to your point, are you doing it in a relatable way? Do you come off as the greatest in these these quarterbacks that you're watching and analyzing suck because they're not making the throws that you could? Yeah. Because that's not going to come off as well. I mean, you got to be a little self-deprecating, like you mentioned. And so it's going to be in the delivery of that. Romo had done pretty good being relatable and giving you the information. But what it felt like after a while was we weren't getting as much information, just a bunch of whoa, he's making sounds all of a sudden. Maybe is that less prepped as he's been accused of? I have no idea. I still think he's good.
Yep.
He's just not, you don't feel like he's calling the plays like he was that first year when Romo, you know, basically was telling you what's coming.
Well,
and it just amazed you.
And we were all sort of stunned by that because he was calling out the plays. But, I think we've lost the luster on how enamored we are when he calls out the plays. Olsen was good for Fox. I think Brady is taking his chair. So I think the challenge will be, is he better than Olsen? And I think he probably is.
See, Greg Olsen was great.
I thought he was good.
And that's the thing about it. Just go did the job. Again, didn't make it about himself, but knew his spots to pick in. Okay, this is what we did when I was in the league. That's what you're there for. And so he ended up super underrated.
I agree.
And really should be anybody's number one.
Yes.
You know, in turn, if you didn't have Tom Brady in, who now would become the highest paid analyst ever based on what is it, 30 mil he's getting, somewhere there. Olsen, underrated, severely underrated for how good he is.
SB Nation just put it up that he's been assigned his first game with Fox, and it looks like it's going to be Browns and Cowboys. Week one is where Brady will start his career in the regular season. How about that? Out of the gate.
It's a pretty good one because that Browns defense is good. Anytime you got Cowboys, so it'd be a good little test for him to start there.
Yeah.
And he can tell us all about, Dak Prescott and sort of what he thinks about it.
What's he think?
Yeah, because it seems like Dak, he's always been on that second tier, unable to get his team over the hump in the playoffs, and so unable to reach that, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes.